Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
As I said, excuse me if I'm not my normal ticker self. I hope my voice won't last out. It should do. So at the end of this week, I've been at a conference. It's called the Urban Forum. It's a new wine conference, and kind of really been immersed with a group of people who do urban mission as well. And just really trying to show God's love to the least and the last and the lost. And so when I came to look at today's talk and saw it was Isaiah 61 and Luke 4 were two of the four kind of bits that I had to talk about, I just got stuck on the Luke 4 and the Isaiah 61 bit, because it's been what, you know, for the majority of the week that I've been looking at. So that's why I'm going to focus on those bits today. And Polly is going to come up and read Luke 4 for us, verse 16 to 21. It'd be really helpful if you had a Bible in front of you. So if you need a Bible, just wave a hand. Somebody will come and give you a Bible, or if you whip out your phone, I won't think you're looking at Henry's YouTube channel. It's fine, you got you. And Polly is our Bishop of London's Mission Fund youth apprentice, or apprentice youth worker even, for Church at Five. So if you've not met Polly yet, Polly, this is everyone, everyone, this is Polly.
Has everyone found it? He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up and read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
Thanks, Polly. So this is right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and Jesus identifies himself with this passage. In fact, he is the fulfillment of the passage in Isaiah. And I love the bit in Luke where Luke says, "And he found the place," in Isaiah. So as I said, this is right at the beginning, at the start of his public ministry. And it's almost like he's saying, this is my manifesto, but it's also my Father's manifesto as well, because it dictated where he went. It dictated who he spent time with. It dictated what he did. And you might ask yourself, well, why? Well, at the conference I was at this week, the Bishop of Burnley spoke really powerfully. And if you follow me on Twitter or Facebook, I will be putting the talk up there, a link to it, because it was an amazing talk. But one of the things that he said was, when you proclaim good news to the poor, everyone listens. And Jesus knew that if he was to proclaim good news to the poor, everyone would listen. So let's go to the passage in Isaiah that Jesus reads from. So it's Isaiah 61. Don't know what page that is in the Bibles, but I'm sure you can find it. So Jesus starts off by reading this bit. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives and release for the prisoners. The first thing you notice about this is that he's led by the Spirit. It's God's initiative. You know, we talk about mission, don't we? In terms of we have a God who's missional and then we join in with his mission. And actually, the Spirit of God actually is going to the poor and we join in with God in his serving the poor. So who is the poor? Well, the poor is the poor. Wherever the poor are in the world. In the UK, it's homeless people. It's those who have poor housing. It's those who are on 0 hours contracts, which are just under what they could get to get certain types of benefits, or just over by an hour what they could get. It's those who have to choose food or heating. It's those who go to the food banks. It's the vulnerable who actually the benefit system is too hard for them to work out and work with. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, yeah, some of that is me. Some of that may well be you, but there is always somebody in a worse position than we are, wherever we find ourselves. And Jesus says that he's come to proclaim good news. It's really difficult to proclaim something to somebody you are nowhere near. You know, especially in those days, they didn't have the internet. There wasn't kind of Facebook, or there weren't megaphones, there weren't PA systems. So proximity in terms of proclamation was important. And it still is today. How close are we prepared to get with those who are poor? I mean, you might think, well, it's all right for Helen because she's chosen to go and do what she's done. But actually, this really challenges me too. There is always further we can go with this. There's always nearer we can get to people. You see, Jesus left the glory and the splendor of heaven, didn't he? To get up close and personal with us. To get in proximity with us. And so that's why you'll notice if you've served at the community lunch here on Sundays that the team don't just serve food. The team actually go and sit with our guests, our friends. So how can you and I actually get a little bit more up close and personal to those who are poor? Well, I'm sure that many of you, when you see maybe a homeless person on the street, will go and get them a cup of coffee. Anybody done that? Yeah? What about getting 2 cups of coffee and sitting down and having a chat with them? Because actually listening is one of the best gifts that we can give people. And those people who are marginalized in our society are very rarely listened to. And that's what happened in Brexit, wasn't it? It was the marginalized of society not being listened to. But Jesus said that he came to proclaim good news to the poor. What is good news? Is good news you're a sinner, but Jesus came to save you? Or is it something bigger than that? It's good news that God created us and this world. But it's broken and it fell. But then he came to be with us. And he died on the cross for us. Not just for us personally, but for us corporately as well. And he was resurrected to new life. And he's putting it all back together. Isn't that good news? That Jesus puts it all back together? We can sometimes sell people a bit short with the good news. We can give them that little sliver in the middle and not the whole good news. I love the way Daniel Strickland talks about good news. She says, there is nothing too hard, no one too lost, nothing too late. Everything is redeemable by a God who's the God of salvation. That's good news. So no one is forgotten. There is always enough. Jesus cares, and so his people care. Jesus has time to listen, and so we have time to listen. No one is on the scrap heap of life in the kingdom of God. God has plans and purposes for all of us, even the poor, even the broken. And all that brokenness comes together in Jesus as he puts it all back together again. Let's go on reading. So the end of verse 1 and moving on to verse 2. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the Lord's vengeance, for to comfort all who mourn. Again, there's something about our proximity there, isn't there? And Jesus' proximity with us. Jesus has come to comfort us. And he is not a far off God that comes to comfort that comforts us from a distance. He comes to be with us to comfort us. I mean, if Caroline was going through an awful time, if I just stood here and said, "Oh, Caroline, I'm just so sorry that you're going through that," that's not hugely comforting. What I need to do is I need to go and I need to be with Caroline. I need to be in close proximity with her. I need to be able to put an arm around her and say, "I'm really sorry, Caroline, that you are going through a tough time." There is something about comfort and proximity. Jesus left the glory and splendor of heaven to come to us, to comfort us. And we need to go to those who need comforting. Not just keep them at a distance, not keep them at an arm's length away. Another one of my heroes, Heidi Baker, puts it like this. If you're called to be a missionary, a sent out one, then you're called to comfort those who mourn. You're called to love the broken until they understand God's love, a love that never dies through you. Moving on to verse 3. To comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, an oil of joy instead of gladness, and a garment of praise instead of despair. And they will be, oh, we'll stop there actually. The next line is my favorite line. We'll just stop there with verse 3. So Jesus changes it all. Ashes become beauty, mourning becomes joy, despair becomes praise. Jesus is a change agent. He came into this world to change the world. And we, as Christians, as little Christs, are called to be the same. We are called to be change agents. He came so that we can go. So how are we in North London going to be change agents? Well, are we prepared to go and see the trouble that some people are living in? Are we prepared to go into some of our tough communities, to walk around them, to have those conversations? Are we prepared to sit in the food bank and listen to the stories and ask questions about the people who need to use it? Are we prepared to spend time with homeless people on the street? Because as we go and see and as we listen, there will be solutions. We are called to be change agents. What's in your hand? What can you do? What can you bring to help change this world? We all have different gifts and skills. What can you do? I think, you know, we can say, oh my goodness, the world is in such a mess. What can little old me do? But I love that story of that child who was found on a beach with a load of starfish that had been washed up. And literally there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these starfish. And this little child was there just chucking them into the water, moving on, chucking them into the water. And this adult went up to the child and said, you know, really, it's not worth doing. You know, you're not really going to make a difference, are you? And the little child picked up one and chucked it back into the water and said, save that one. And moved along, chucked it into the water and said, save that one. What are you going to do to be a change agent? The God-given talents that you have got, how are you going to use them? But it's not just what we've got in our hands. In some of our toughest communities, God has given the answer, the solution to the problem. So I love organizations like Tear Fund, who actually work with the communities to look at what the solution is for the poverty that they have, and they help them to solve that. What's in their hands? You know, that's one of the things that excites me about solar houses, the whole social enterprise side of it. Actually helping most needy in our community look at what's in their hand to help them get out of that place and to help others get out of that place. Jesus changes it all. So the end of verse 3 there. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Do you notice there? It's they, not us, but they. They will be the mighty oaks. They, the poor, the broken, the captives, the prisoners, they will be the mighty oaks. And we just need to watch power balance when we minister to people, don't we? It's so easy to slip into doing it to people rather than doing it with people. And the with model is God's model. I love the fact that in Genesis, you see God asking Adam to name the creatures. It wasn't like God couldn't think of any good names for himself, but it was about involvement, wasn't it? It's easy to do to. It's not so easy to do with. I think another challenge in this as well, not rather than just to do to and moving to do with, is allowing other people to minister to us in those places as well. Those who you maybe think haven't got anything to bring to the party, but everybody has. I know that for when my husband Mark had a stroke, we were truly blessed by the people on our estate who brought what they had to bless us as a family. And allowing people to do that wasn't easy. You know, we so easily slip into the wrong power balance there, don't we? But the broken, the poor, the captives and the prisoners, they are the ones that we will rebuild their cities. Because change always comes from the margins. Revival always comes from the margins and from the marginalized. And why? Because if the gospel impacts the poorest, then the gospel can impact anyone. So how do we grow oaks of righteousness? Well, I think we need to see people the way that Jesus sees them. And I think that's tough with actually what the media portray about the poor. The poor have been demonized in our society, and it's really hard to see the poor with the eyes of Jesus. But I think that's what the Holy Spirit helps us to do. And we need to help put tools in people's hands, not do it for them. One of our things at Church at Five is we have a scaffolding team, a leadership team there we call a scaffolding team. And that's to kind of like scaffold the new life that is growing up for the local leadership. Our scaffolding team's job isn't to use their ministries. The scaffolding team's job is to help our local leaders and enable them to use their ministries instead. And that's how we break generational poverty, isn't it? How we renew those cities that have been long devastated for generation after generation. It's as we come into friendship and proximity with people, but as we put the tools in their hands that they need to rebuild their cities. And just moving on to verse 5, and strangers will shepherd your flocks and foreigners will work your fields. Well, there's been a lot about that in the media at the moment, haven't there? I mean, that's really quite topical with everything that's been going on. People's dislike of others, people not like us. I think we've lost some of our open-heartedness in the UK that we should have been proud of. And there's, you know, there's good and bad on both sides of Brexit, but it has just, it's shown what's there underneath the surface. And an unlikely quote for you is from a very wise bear called Aunt Lucy. I don't know how many of you have watched the Paddington movie. Yes? See a few nods. I love it. It's got to be one of my favourite movies. And I'm always in tears as well at it. And this very wise old bear, Aunt Lucy, says this about England. Long ago, people in England sent their children by train with labels around their necks so that they could be taken care of by complete strangers in the countryside where it was safe. They will not have forgotten how to treat strangers. They will not have forgotten how to treat strangers. We have. Jesus was a refugee. He had to flee. We have forgotten how to treat strangers. When people fleeing persecution, have no money to live on in the UK, who are not able to claim benefit and they are not able to work. We have forgotten how to treat strangers. When we turn this around, we will truly be the people that God have called us to be, the priesthood of all believers. Verse 6, and you will be called priests of the Lord, and you'll be named ministers of our God, and you will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will receive your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. We will be the people that God has called us to be, that priesthood of all believers, when the poor matter to us like they mattered to Jesus. God takes our attitude towards poverty and the poor seriously. And if you're in any doubt of that, you just need to flick through the Bible. There is so much about the poor. Just flick back a few pages, Isaiah 58, verses 6 to 9. Is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderers with shelter? When you see the naked, clothe them, and do not turn away those from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly come. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." How we view poverty and how we treat the poor matters to God. Just a final verse from Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. Let's never lose sight of what is on God's heart. It's a risky business if we do. I wonder whether Bam would like to come back up. And I guess that tonight I want to just give people the opportunity to align themselves with Jesus' manifesto that he found in the scroll and that he read out. Let me just read that again. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Lord, would you forgive us where our hearts have become hard? Where we haven't followed your manifesto and your Father's manifesto. Lord, that we've thought that we cannot make a difference. It's just too big a problem. And yet, Lord, you are asking us, what is in your hand? What can you do? What can you bring? Lord, that little boy brought 5 loaves and fishes. And Jesus, you did a miracle. Lord, would you take what is in our hands and would you do a miracle? Lord, we want to be change agents. And Lord, we want to be those who help the world to be put back together and restored rather than stay in the broken state that it's in. Amen.